for the three pilgrimage feasts. And the pilgrimage feasts were required in the law that everyone had to be in Jerusalem or be cut off from the people. The three pilgrimage feasts were Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And each of the feasts have unique aspects of the revelation of Christ, but the most interesting and revelatory aspect that's only done on the Feast of Tabernacles is something that shows us that the Jerusalem and the Israel that was over there was only a parable. As the only time that the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 to 134, were ever read was when they were on their way to Jerusalem from the lands all over for the feasts, the three pilgrimage feasts. And the Psalms of Ascent were Psalm 120 to 134. And then the only time that the Hallel could be read, which is 113 to 118, or sung, was when they were in the temple. So on Passover and Pentecost, they journeyed up to Jerusalem and they sang these Psalms, 120 to 134. But then on Tabernacles, they did this incredible thing at the end of the ceremony. They had built a series of like a stadium kind of thing inside the temple, and they had to sing again the Psalms of Ascent. Even though they were in the temple, in the holy place, supposedly in the promise. But they sang them again to indicate that this was just the shadow of the reality of the New Jerusalem, the temple which is in the heaven or in eternity. Now we are so familiar with these because we've been singing them for so long, the Psalms of Ascent, that I thought this morning, or maybe tomorrow, we will read the actual Psalms instead of John's Targum of the Psalms, so we can see exactly what's being said. Now, one of the mysteries of God is whenever you are drawn away from that point of perfect peace, of perfection, you should read the Psalms of Ascent to get you back up there. Because you're always on the mercy seat. You're always seated with Him in the New Jerusalem. It is always finished. It is always perfect, but you always get confused. So Psalm 120 to 134 are the key, really the Psalms that are the key to understanding the mystery of Christ. You already did just by doing that.
Or the other members of the class.
And he said a bad word, too, when we have guests. Yeah, that would be a good idea. You wouldn't want that to happen here. Okay, Psalm 120. Now, we know this as, I can't take any more darkness, the smell of death and the wind. The only voices I hear cause the pain and the what to begin. So now let's see what it actually said instead of John's Targum of it. Psalm 120.
Not everything made it into the song.
I know.
It's pronounced the Targum.
That's not... Don't encourage him, Ronnie. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Now, the lying lips and the deceitful tongue isn't about those people out there. It's about your lying lips and your deceitful tongues all 70 of them, your board of elders in your mind. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Now, if any of you are familiar with Hal Lindsey and Left Behind and all this other crap, you'll know that they're always talking about Gog and Magog, or the Russians that are coming down to get you, or Israel, or somebody. But throughout, huh? Yeah. But throughout the time when there was real biblical exegesis, Gog, Magog, and Meshech were the enemies. And they were the enemies of the mystery of God. And so Gog, Magog, and Meshech here are simply the ones that are the enemy of the seed of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you need to always pray to be delivered from Gog and Magog and Meshech and from Kedar. Now, what is Kedar? Kedar are those that are the traders, T-R-A-D-E-R-S, that live by cause and effect instead of grace and mercy, that live by principles instead of living by grace. Can you understand what I'm saying? Now, who is the best one that you know that lives by principles and cause and effect and commerce, if you will? If I do this, I will get this. If I don't do this, I won't get that. It's you. These are all aspects of you that are the enemies of the mystery of Christ. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Now hear me. This, every prayer was written by the Spirit of Christ in David, or the other 10 that wrote the Psalms, written by the Spirit of Christ in them, for and as the prayer of Christ as he walked the earth, and now for Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when you are praying in agreement here to be delivered from Meshech and the tents of Kedar, you are praying to be delivered from yourself. The only enemy of God that you know is you. And if you don't know that by now, you're a fool. Who am I looking at? No. You can't let this thing deceive you anymore. You've taken it to the ends. You know there's nothing there. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech. So he is, it's Christ speaking. He's sojourning in Meshech. He's dwelling in the tents of Kedar. The tents of Kedar are the rightful temple of the Holy Spirit, but we have made them the tents of Kedar. We've made his house a den of thieves. You are his house. So who's he talking to? Every time you don't abandon yourself, every time you try to figure it out yourself instead of living in that moment of dependence, then you return, you try to make him live in the tents of Kedar, in the houses of Meshech. And Gog and Magog are right behind you. Does that make sense?
You're a poor host.
You're a very poor host. You're the worst host possible.
Me and Pete, too.
No. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Who is the one that hates peace?
Pete,
yes. No, you are. You have to have againstness in order to have righteousness. You have to be against something. You have to be a victim of someone or something. So by definition, the wicked one, you, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ in you, is the one that hateth peace. Because you can't have any sense of self unless you're against something or somebody.
There's nothing for me to eat.
That's right.
There's nothing going on.
My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace. It doesn't say I am for. Look it. It says I, peace. Am for is in italics. Who is peace? Jesus Christ is peace. I am peace. I, peace. But when I speak, they are for war. Harry, do you understand this? Who's the they? That's for war.
Asking me?
Mm-hmm. Okay. When I speak, they are for war. No, that's the first psalm of ascent. And the reason that's the first psalm of ascent is because you can't even start the journey to go up to the New Jerusalem until you see that this is you. Because otherwise, you'll move somewhere else and think that'll fix it, or you'll try to change your surroundings to think that that'll fix it, or you'll stop dealing with those people because that'll fix it. Or you go to New Jersey. Do you really see this? That there is nothing optional here? The point is until you see this and know this, you cannot... The rest of the Psalms of Ascent will be subjective. You'll make them into mean something.
I was thinking about this thought this morning of how as you grow up, your computer gets hardwired for no peace. And you get older and you don't have a choice because you're programmed. When peace comes, you think something's not right, so you sabotage your life to get back to what you feel is right. Or like Kevin said, you need something to eat, so you stir up trouble. But
it's not as you grow older. You're hardwired for that because of the curse.
World itself, confirmed and needs the wiring or whatever.
I got an email last night from a friend of ours who out of the blue is asking for help. And the reason I say out of the blue is over the last 3 months, he's ignored 5 or 6 of my emails and requests for help and information. I find myself wanting to write back and address that situation. Ignore it.
You ignore you. You never ignore the need. You ignore your opinions, your ideas of justice. You never ignore the need.
Well, I understand that. I understand the part about not ignoring the need. I'm not asking about that part. There's no question that I'll do what he's asking me to do. My question has to do with my resentment at him for ignoring me and my request for help.
Because you say, I didn't deserve to have any answer. You lose your need to be right. Sometimes you absolutely hate this stuff, don't you?
Well, that just sucks. No, I'm sorry. This is somebody we know.
Doesn't matter.
I'm going to walk around for a while and ignore you and go. Not respond to your request.
Well, that's fine. Try that if you want.
You going to just let it go?
Yes.
You going to ignore it?
No, because you work for me.
So because of our Canaanite relation, I owe you a response. But he doesn't owe me a response?
No, he owes you nothing.
Then I don't owe him anything.
Huh?
Then I don't owe him anything.
You owe him everything. We just studied this yesterday, the difference between the publican and the Pharisee. And you just became the Pharisee. I thank thee that I am not like this other person who doesn't answer my needs, and now he expects me to answer his needs.
I just said there's no question that I'll answer his need.
Well, it doesn't matter if you answer.
The question is, am I going to make believe I'm not irritated?
Well, no, but the only way out of that is the same way out of everything else you've gone through for 30 years, and that's to say, Father, forgive me. Get rid of the self-righteousness. You're not getting rid of it.
Getting rid of it.
You knew what it was.
You knew I was going to say that before you asked the question.
I need to say something to him.
No, you don't. You need to lay down your life. The only way, the reason this stuff comes up in body is so you can see yourself, not so you can get it right. How many times have we gone through this? Did you not hear anything this morning? You're the only enemy. But if you do what you can do, what you're going to do anyway. But it doesn't. You're walking. You've given place. You've fallen from the strong city. You're back in self again. Psalm 121.
We would be very upset if God treated us that way. When we finally need something from Him, He reminds us of how many times we.
Well, it's unacceptable. Remember, a Levite has no rights. You've lost any inheritance in the land. Now, he'll stay mad for about 3 hours, then he'll come and talk to me. But now he won't because I said that.
Imagine I will end up plowing the field.
What does that mean?
Right now I don't feel like going to plow your field.
What does that mean?
It's a parable about this.
I know, but I'm stupid, so tell me what it means.
I'm pissed off at the motherfucker.
Don't. I mean, that's enough. If you're in that state of being, you can't hear anyway, so you might as well go back to your office. When you walk through the door for Bible study, you leave all that outside. Okay, now the next one is also important. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Every time. And this is another perfect example. Every time in your entire life when you reached a point of need, you looked up to the hills, normally the hills to the east, looking for a solution. What shall I do about this? What shall I do about that? The what shall I do about something is the point of evil. Happened over and over. What he's just gone through, what Harry's just gone through, he and I have gone through 500,000 times in the last 25 years. And it's always about somebody not treating him right, not giving him the respect he deserves. And he's hardwired to do that. But he's hardwired to do that so you can see yourself. Fred died. We need to look. We're looking for a new
what? Well, here's what I'm sorry. Take a pause on this, but here's what frustrates the hell out of me. If I'm talking about somebody out there, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who's supposed to be a close friend and a brother.
And you have no idea what he's going through.
Right. This isn't a reciprocal deal?
No.
We aren't in this together?
No. Right now, you're in it totally alone. Until you repent, you're going to stay alone. You've seen this every time. It's been against Pete. It's been against what's her name? Barbara. It's been against Powell. It's been against everybody. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't it a familiar tune? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? And then you, and what he does here is says he ignores the hills. And he says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Why should I look for any other place for my sustenance or my need? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my only keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. I no longer need the sun for light and the day or heat. I no longer need the moon for light, and I no longer need somebody else's response to me to give me peace. And I no longer make my love conditional upon somebody's response. My help cometh only from the Lord. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth even forevermore. How can you neglect so great a salvation for a momentary feeling of superiority? What are you going to sell your birthright for? For a job? For some money that somebody owes you? For some response that you think you deserve? So picking Ronnie?
He's ready.
No, he's not. Can't you see what you sell your freedom for? What you sell out for? Split second. Then you not only do you sell out, but you're planning how to get revenge. I'll show that son of a bitch. In the New Jerusalem, which is where you are seated, on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim, everything is exactly as it should be. Everything that has happened is exactly as it's supposed to be. It's perfect. It's finished. Off of it, everything is wrong. The point of the life is to find out if anything can take you off the mercy seat.
In our condition,
is that all it takes?
Can the air conditioner take you off the mercy seat?
So you're
no, but that's what the door.
Can a passing car or a passing person take you off?
Yeah.
Can a thought take you off the mercy seat? And you're a fool. Harry's in the Congressional Record as a fool, by the way.
P-F-O-O-L-E.
No, it's F-O-O-L. But he's our fool, so. What?
A ringing of a cell phone.
A ringing of a cell phone?
A ringing of our minds.
Yeah, I was thinking of it. You know, Gary's thing is an outward deal. Most of us deal with this inwardly. We just kill that person and go on. You know, it's just like, okay, well, this, you know, nothing's happened here, but there is something happening. You know, there's murder and mayhem. But it's just a different kind of deal.
Do you understand every time, every single time you withhold from someone, you hate them? And the fruit of hate is you will withdraw from them. Once you withdraw, psychically or in, you murder them. Can you see that you are the one that have killed and shed enough blood to fill the Megiddo Valley up to the horse's bridle? You are the mass murderer. I am the mass murderer. Therefore, our next breath is a gift. We have no rightness. And until you see that, you can't even start this journey. You're still back in the world, hiding under the blood. Maybe that's fine, but you're still hiding under the blood of the doorpost, waiting for the death angel to pass.
You're locked in time, too.
Well, that automatically locks you in time, because you're waiting for something else to happen.
And you didn't respond.
You deny that it's finished, so you've crucified the Son of God afresh. You've trampled underfoot the blood. You've considered the blood of the covenant, it is an unholy thing. The reason you make it unholy is because it wasn't enough for you. Because I've got to get this. I've got to get revenge on that attorney.
Good memory.
Oh, I've got a lot of them. I just wanted to know if you wanted to continue to play that game.
He's going to plot with attorneys.
Please, don't sell out. You sell your birthright for this momentary feeling of being a victim. And that's what this first thing was in 120. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. It's not talking about anybody else's response to you. It's talking about your response to anything. It's so easy, and it's so easy to get allies. That's why talebearing is so incredibly evil. Because there, in talebearing, you murder three. You murder the one you're talking about, you murder the one you're talking to, and you kill him committing suicide. Can you conceive of the amount of blood you've shed in your life? How can you think that you're better than anybody or anything? You're not. You are the chief of sinners. That's what you must see. There's only one chief of sinners, the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, and you are he. We didn't get very far. We were going to get through seven of them today. We got through two.
Well, we're going to drag in tomorrow.
But can you see how we've lost the power of the Psalms? Not for any wrong reason. John's targum made the Psalms come alive. But it's important that every once in a while we re-look at them, not just in what the music we hear.
Yeah, it's good to go before and study the whole deal.
Yeah. So on your own, read the Psalms of Ascent. Read the Hallel. Psalms of Ascent, 120 to 134. Hallel, 113 to 118. The only time this Hallel can be read or sung is in. It's illegal. You can't do it. You can mouth some words, but you can't. Your heart won't be there because you're somewhere else. There are no options in here. Can you see a little bit?
Yeah. Psalm 121 reminded me of something you talked about a long time ago. You were talking about marriage, but I can't look to somebody else. That's not the relationship. The relationship is me and God. If that person is in relationship, as we are with God, then we're in fellowship or whatever. So
yeah.
my railing is against God, not against this person.
Well, marriage is perfect. If you're getting married for it because you need that person, then the marriage will fail. Or hopefully maybe it'll grow if you repent, but everybody wants to hear, oh, I need you. But you really don't, because you know if your partner says they need you, you know that they're eating your flesh. Which is, that's kind of sickening.
Unless you're into that.
Barbecued Judy. Huh?
Unless you're into that.
You and Jeffrey Dahmer, huh?
Let's do our custom.
Moving right along.
What custom is that?
A custom when you have new people in the room, they get to speak once freely.
What have the rest of you been doing all this time?
You don't bark at them.
Bark.
Start a new custom and ask people, why the hell are you here?
Yeah, why are you here?
Why would you come here?
Why would you want to be here?
Well, God only knows.
Or you can ask.
Yeah.
Okay. You got what? Tell me. I forgot your name already.
Jessica.
Uh-huh. Any response to anything said?
How
did you find out about it? Did you same time your Gus did?
Not at the same time. He started listening before I did. I was still in school and way too distracted and wrapped up to really get involved. And I knew at the time that he was telling me things that he felt crazy. He was seeing things. I was showing him some things that were just disturbing. And he wanted to tell me about them, and we would talk, and I would just be like, whoa, I don't really know what it is you're going through. I can't relate. And I think God was really giving me grace at that time, knowing that it was too overwhelming for what I was going through. And but at the same time, I knew that our relationship, our fellowship had been so close that whatever he was going through was real, and that I knew I would experience it soon. I don't know how to explain that. And after I got out of school, I did. And on our vacation, on our way down to the beach, we were listening to the Bible studies. He was like, tell me if you think this guy is absolutely nuts. Because I'm going nuts, and I'm agreeing with him. What do you think?
This is a problem.
It was good. And there was a lot of things I didn't understand, but something inside me was going, amen. And I didn't understand what that was, but it felt like a renewing. It felt like something I needed to hear for a really long time, raw, really raw and true, instead of watered down like what I've heard before. I've heard some truths that are really, really watered down. It didn't offend me because I could turn them around really easily and think about someone else in the room that needed to hear this more than I did. And so it's just since then, just listening to this every single day or almost, it's when I read, when God showed me that, I've been telling myself lies my entire life, and it's the one person I have trusted the most is my mind. It's all I have, aside from what other people say, and I don't believe them anyway. But I believe myself from my experiences, and when I realized all of this was false, it pissed me off so bad that I cried in anger. Like, I just was so mad.
And mad at you, too. Mad at Gus a little bit, too.
I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's always the guy's fault.
That's the one advantage of being here if you're married. It's every problem in a marriage is the man's fault, by definition.
You gotta tell me that if you can believe that.
Well, and, when we called you, I don't know if you remember even the conversation we had, I think sometime in April, whenever you sent that email of asking for money, I was like, aha, here's my loophole, I'm going to get this guy. You know, I was looking for something that would not, you know, and again, this is just wanting to judge you as opposed to listening to the Spirit, so there's, you know, two different things. But.
Oh, I'm well aware of that process.
Well, I mean, even reading the song this morning, you know, I just, you know, I realize, I just see that, you know, I even deceive myself into thinking that I want peace, because when I see it, I want something else. I mean, when I repent and I'm there, I think, okay, now I'm going to use this to my advantage. Or,
meet your brother, who's right here.
But now I'm also seeing, too, that, you know, we've this is our second year anniversary. We're here kind of celebrating, and it was,
right.
You know, we just decided to do something completely different. But.
A little second honeymoon in Trinity, man.
Yeah. And we got
what everyone would want. Are they in the bridal suite?
Well, you both of you, just you have to hear this. There's nothing that I can tell you that you don't already know.
Right. And that's. I think that was, you know, this is, you know, and I see that we're right now, I mean, just what we've seen is that, you know, we feed off each other more than I thought we'd be. It's healthy. It's just natural. But
it's also just evil.
Yes, yes. So, you know, I just see how deceitful, how easily you can take something which we call good and feed into that to the point where this is more important than this.
Yeah.
So it's refreshing. I'm glad to know that I'm not losing.
Well, you're welcome here.
Well, thanks.
But I'll try to get you to leave. All right, is that, did I fulfill our obligation? Who asked me if I remembered the custom?
Gary.
Oh, of course it was
Gary.
We do
have an announcement before you say take, or after you say take.
Well, go ahead and make an announcement.
We're going to meet in the backyard at 9 to, for
raising the tent.
Yeah.
Tent raising.
All righty, take it, big guy.